The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. The two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. I thank you, O God, that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, and adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes and my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified and not the former. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So the gospel reminds us of the fact that we all of us, I don't care how good we may think we are, we all need a lot of mercy, a lot of mercy, a lot of grace, a lot of mercy, boatloads of the stuff, because God is very holy. And that really needs to be the starting point of any reflection on holiness, doesn't it? You know, we tend to want to sort of have a pecking order among ourselves. You know, I'm more holy than you, but we all know that so-and-so is more holy than any of us. Well, lovely. But that's sort of an anthropocentric kind of way of looking. But we need to begin with God, and God is very holy. Now, I remember Monsignor Curlin, now Bishop Curlin, said many, some time ago, he said that we went to the bedside of a priest who was dying. And he said, oh, Father, he said, just think in moments you'll see God. And the priest grabbed his hand with whatever strength was left and said, pray for me. And he said, oh, but Father, you're such a holy man. Everyone, you're renowned for your holiness. And, you know, you've built churches and hospitals. And, oh, Father, it'll be fine. You'll be seeing Jesus very soon. And he said, pray for me. He says, God is very holy. And you see, when the starting point is God and his holiness, this can help us to become very humble. And we have this tendency, though, again today, to sort of trivialize God and to sort of think, well, you know, God doesn't mind, and we sort of reinvent God. You hear people say this all the time. Well, God doesn't care about this, or God doesn't really care. You know, it's like, well, you know, I think that it's not very. In most of what they say, God doesn't care about, the Bible actually said He does care about. You know, but. But there's a kind of a trivializing of God. There's a sense that God's just kind of this sort of big lollipop king who's basically ready to hand out, you know, lollipops, and who basically just, you know, no matter what, he's pleased with me. And of course, this is so contrary to Scripture. Now, it isn't true that God is this horrible ogre that we better get to attention or else. I mean, God loves us, but God is holy. And we are not. And you cannot simply go into the presence of God, you and I, in our present condition. That's one of the reasons we're still here. A little hint there. That's one of the reasons, you know, that the church certainly teaches on purgatory and so on, even after we die, in friendship with God. Now, there is, of course, this letter to the Hebrews, which says, I believe it's in the 10th chapter, look, it says, we need to strive for the holiness without which no one shall see the Lord. We have to strive for that holiness, and no one will see the Lord without this holiness. So God is the beginning. He is the starting point. And we should never trivialize Him. We should realize that He is holy. He is not just holy, He is holy, holy, holy. Jewish way of saying He's really holy. Now, here you have then this Pharisee who goes to pray, and he thinks, well, look at me, I'm pretty good. At least I'm not as bad as so-and-so, or that person, or, you know, these people who are greedy, dishonest, and adulterous. And not only that, but I even pay my tithes. So I'm really caught up on this holiness thing. I've got righteousness down. And I'm better than the next guy. And again, I've said to you this before, sisters, and I know we've talked about it before, which is that in the end, I will not, the standard is not that I'm better than so-and-so. The standard is, am I like Jesus? Now I hope we all know we need mercy. Maybe if I could dare to recast this parable, because I think most of us today understand, actually most of us, I say us in the culture, understand that this understand money pretty well. So there were two men who were on their way to heaven. And the one man said to the other, he boasted, he said, I have twice as much. You have $100, and I have $100, and you only have 50. I have twice as much as you. Twice as much. And he boasted all the way to heaven as they journeyed up to the pearly gates to enter. And he kept boasting, I have twice as much. And they get to the doors of heaven, and Peter opens, and he says, well, he says, the price of admission is $50 trillion. Okay. So, you see, it's amazing how we can boast that we're better than so-and-so or not as bad off as so-and-so. But do you understand, sisters, that I'm a lot closer to being a tax collector or a prostitute than I am to being Jesus. And that's just a fact. It's a fact for all of us. Because God is very holy. And without lots of grace and mercy, none of us are going to make it. You know, in our culture, we like to, the big bad person that we like to quote, or to, not quote, but point to, is Hitler. Hitler's a bad person. And, of course, there are others. There are other bad people, actually, but you know, Hitler will suffice. And we'd like to think of someone like Mother Teresa as someone who is. But I want to say to you, and I don't mean any disrespect to Mother Teresa, but she'd be the first to say it, that without boatloads of mercy and grace, she didn't stand a chance either. None of us stand a chance without boatloads of grace and mercy. And to stand there like this guy does and say, well, look at me, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, and think that's somehow a ticket to righteousness or holiness is a pretty pathetic thing, because I'm boasting all the way, I have twice as much as you. And when you get to the gates of heaven and find out, man, it's $50 trillion. None of us stand a chance. And that's just the point. Only the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ is ever going to get us through. And that's why I rather doubt, personally. I mean, I've never been to heaven to ask God this personally, and God isn't. And I've asked Him in prayer, but He's not telling. And that is that. But my presumption is, and it's only my presumption, because it's really between God and those who have died. But my presumption is that probably most all of us have to go to purgatory for a while. And I don't mean this horrible purgatory that some of us learned about when we were young. It was this terrible miniature hell. It was really no different than hell, except that it was temporary. I mean, the catechism is very clear on that, isn't it? It says it is completely different. The flames or the healing fires of purgatory are completely different than the fires of hell. We don't even want to compare these two things, you see. So the catechism warns us that purgatory is not to be thought of as something like hell. But nevertheless, I suspect that all of us are going to need a lot of purifying when we die, no matter how holy we've been, because God is so holy. And it's always that, if that's always our starting point, there's a lot of humility that comes from that. It's not a holiness that should make us recoil in fear, but it's a holiness that should make us just open our hands and say, God, you're wonderful, you're awesome, you're holy. I simply beg that I'll be made worthy by your grace to be with you forever, you see. It's a fear, a holy fear. It's fear on its knees, you know. It's just a wonderful sense of the awesomeness and the beauty and the majesty, the power, the glory, and the holiness of God. And just a certain sense that I am very unworthy to even be near it, but nevertheless, only God can get me there. And I think that's if we can just stay with that image of God and His holiness, we'll be a lot better off. And so here's this tax collector, and he knows he's sinned. He knows he's going to need mercy. But that's the only thing that's, you know, going to save him, you see. And so he prays. He simply says, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, of course, if he goes back to being wretched, and we can all have pious moments, right? It's not just this one thing that's going to save him, but that's the attitude, isn't it? The Lord is saying that's the attitude to have. Namely, that we need to have mercy on me, a sinner. And God is not trying to belittle us. But he's simply trying to be honest with you. This is who I am. And if you want to ever be able to endure my presence, you have to let me refine you like gold in a furnace or like silver. As the book of Malachi says, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. But who shall stand when he appears? The text goes on to say, here's how it will happen. The Lord will take his seat and he will purify the sons of Levi. Purify them like silver in a fire. And he will purify the sons of Levi so that they may offer worthy worship to the Lord. And so it is that the Lord himself has to purify us. And he'll do it. He'll do it. So with all that in mind, just simply remind you again that we have this remarkable call to go to God. But God is very holy. I don't think really, in a way, I hope that none of us in the chapel really need to be reminded that God is holy. I don't see a lot of trivializing of God that goes on in this community. But I think that all of us just need to be kind of anointed, to really appreciate what it means to call God holy. That's something we all have to grow in. And the more we grow in it, the more we have this deep, deep reverence, a holy fear, a holy reverence for God that simply says, Lord, I realize how far I am from your holiness. I may think I've made great progress, but you are so much more than I could ever know or experience in this world. Just, Lord, continue this work of getting me ready to see you face to face and help me to cooperate and know how essential it is in my life that you do it. Amen.